Fatima, tell us about your experience. I saw in the notes that when you go to Paris, for example, and you book on Airbnb, you change your name.
Yes, I mean, with a name like Fatima Gilliam, people either presume with a name like Fatima I'm either a Muslim or I might be black, because sometimes people pronounce it as Fatima. And so when I was going there several months back, I made sure that when I created my Airbnb profile so that I wouldn't be discriminated against, I changed my name to Jane Smith and didn't have a photo up. And it wasn't until I actually secured the location, paid for it, did I tell the person what my real name was.
Welcome to the Father's Day. I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. Thank you all so much for being with me. You can support the Father's Day by going to thefatherstay.tv/donate. And also, you can support us on locals.com. So click the link in the description to support our work. And I absolutely appreciate it. I have with me Fatima Gilliam. She is a racial ethicist, attorney, and author of Race Rules, What Your Black Friend Won't Tell You. Amazing. Thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here today.
Amazing. So let me just get it out of the way. Are you black or white?
I am black. And just because there's probably questions, both my parents are black. All four of my grandparents are black. And my family has been in this country for nearly 400 years. I'm just light-skinned.
Whoa. Did y'all have a white mailman?
Not possible, because I look like a doppelganger for my sister. So we all look alike. So no, there was none of that going on.
That's amazing. And do you pass for white? Have you ever passed for white?
I have never tried to pass for white. There are plenty of times that people mistakenly think that I'm white, but I've never passed for white. I have no desire to pass for white.
And were your parents, or are your parents, dark black or light skin black?
Both my parents are light. You know, I'm originally from California. I'm a third generation Californian. My grandpa was born in LA as well. But both my parents are light skin. They're maybe they look a little dark, you know. They'll probably tan better than me. My mother definitely doesn't look like a white person, but they're not. My parents are not that dark.
That's amazing. You even sound white.
I mean, can we really have a sound, Jesse?
Yeah. That's amazing. Well, I appreciate that. What inspired you to write the book, Race Rules, What Your Black Friend Won't Tell You?
So the catalyst or the germination for writing this book, Jesse, was, you know, around 5 years ago, I was watching the news, and it was another one of those stories of a Karen going viral for calling the police for no reason. And as I watched this news story, I started to think of several things. I thought about the repetitive questions, rinse and repeat questions that I get from people in my personal and professional life around race. I thought about the diversity consulting work that I do. And again, a lot of repetitive questions. And I thought about the things that white people say around me when they don't realize I'm black. And so as this news story played out and I started thinking about behavior and how people engage, I was like, oh, white people need a manual. So I started writing this book.
Amazing.
So it's a manual.
What the? And so do you get white privilege? Privileges because you look so white and you sound white, you act white. Do you get white? Do you have white privilege?
I don't think I get 100% of white privilege. I would say I get some light skin privilege, but I've definitely been discriminated against and heard all kinds of terrible things about people of color and about me. You know, I've definitely experienced discrimination, but there are a lot of times that people make assumptions about me because they don't know what race I am, or they assume things like you say, the way that I speak, or the fact that I went to Wellesley College, got my master's at Harvard University, got my law degree from Columbia Law School. And then you package all of that together and people have assumptions about what black achievement is and what it looks like.
And so did you receive all those opportunities because of affirmative action, or did you earn your way?
I think if somebody gets an opportunity because of affirmative action, they have earned their way.
What do you mean by that?
So, because there's also like de facto white privilege and white affirmative action. If you look at a school like Harvard or Columbia or any of these schools, there are a whole bunch of white people that go to those schools that don't deserve to be there. They're mediocre, they're not that smart, and they're there because their family either bought a building or they're a legacy person that's been there generation after generation. But affirmative action is not about lowering the bar, it's about opening the door to people who are qualified.
But most,
so I'm qualified, and so are my friends that got into these various schools as people of color.
But most Blacks get into those white universities because of they have lowered the standards. Because the Blacks can't pass the SAT test and all the things they have to do. And so the whites have lowered the standards to let them in. Is that right? Is that fair?
It's not lowering the standards. It's about looking at the totality of the package of the person. But like I said, I have been in classes with people who are white, and I've been like, this person is dumb as rocks. How did they get here? And then I start like, you know, figuring it out. Oh, because their family has been at this school for generation after generation. And right. That is why I'm surrounded by white mediocrity.
But that's pretty normal. That's pretty normal in that even in
But you say that's normal. Why is that okay? That's not okay.
In black universities, I know a lot of black kids over the years who have gone to black colleges, and they were able to get in because they knew someone who either graduated from that college or their family member went there or someone who donates, so they refer them to those schools. That's kind of normal. I think all aspect of business, even when I get employees, a lot of times it's because someone referred them.
Referral, there are plenty of times that there are referrals, but getting into an institution of higher learning because you bought your way in or you're a legacy is not appropriate. I mean, look at somebody like Jared Kushner, who went to Harvard. He would have not gotten in on the merit. He only got in because his father donated like $2 million for him to go there. And I think his brother as well.
Nice.
That's not appropriate. I mean, he didn't deserve to be there. But getting back to your question, Jesse, about lowering the bar, I think that's a misnomer. I mean, people are not less qualified when affirmative action helps them get into an institution. I mean, I have no issues if somehow affirmative action helped me get into Wellesley, Harvard, or Columbia, because I know that I'm exceptionally smart.
Then why do the Blacks, they call white people's standard white, and they say, well, white people work too hard. White people want to be on time. White people earn their way. This thing is white. You got to lower it and let me in. If the Blacks are capable of doing it on their own, or can come up to the standard of the whites, why do they whine and they want the whites to lower everything so they can get in? Why are they doing that?
I don't think that's about lowering, but in terms of punctuality, I am chronically punctual.
Yeah, God, you know? White.
No, I am chronically punctual. I believe in punctuality. My grandfather, who was probably about your complexion, drilled into me the importance of being on time.
That's right.
And so I've always been on time. But in terms of lowering the standard, I mean, I just fundamentally disagree with that as a premise, because it's really about providing opportunity when doors have been historically and systemically closed to people over time that created an environment where only white people get to excel and achieve, and it's opportunity hoarding. And so what affirmative action is about is just leveling the playing field, making sure that you have a diverse pool of people to gain access and opportunity. And also, I mean, in terms of you're talking about like something like SAT scores, which sometimes show that statistically it's not a predictor of somebody's success, there are other things that are also important, you know, in terms of someone's success or whether or not they score high on a test, right? So something like the SATs, what it is more of a predictor of is what is your socioeconomic background, not necessarily your intelligence, your grit, how hard you can work, you know, whether or not you're capable of excelling in an academic or professional environment.
Well, what's wrong with the Blacks is in that their representatives are always wanting reparations and affirmative action and some type of program rather than the blacks thinking and being individuals and just doing their own thing the way you say you have done, and your grandfather was like that. My grandfather was the same way, and he taught me to be on time, to work, to treat everyone the same, and to just do my thing and not rely on anyone else to do it for me, not to lower any standards, just do my own thing. What's wrong with the blacks? They always want a reparation, or they want something rather than just doing their thing.
Well, I think part of what your analysis is, Jesse, is that somehow we're going to be able to solve racism and systemic and structural barriers on an individual basis. And that is never going to happen. So you need to have some kind of policy and initiative that's trying to counter what is inherent discrimination built into the system. And the inherent discrimination creates a society where the opportunity is significantly leaning towards only white achievement. And if you don't have something to counter it, then you're just going to continue to have broad scale systemic racism and discrimination.
So are you saying that the blacks are never going to get better then? They're going to always be this way?
I'm not saying it's going to always be this way, but we have to
see. No, I mean, are the blacks going to always be victims and on the totem pole because the whites are, you know, the whites seem to still be leading the way? Are you saying
because
of the white won't change, the blacks are always going to be a problem?
Why is it that the blacks are a problem as opposed to the structure that promotes exclusive white achievement as being the problem?
Well, I mean, as far as blaming and begging and wanting programs and whining.
It's not. Okay. So let's talk about programs. Let's break down programs. Okay. So if you want to talk about how there's been achievement and success in this country, it really goes back to how policies and laws have been implemented and instituted in this country. So you can say, okay, we had slavery, which created like free labor, unpaid labor. And then you had indigenous genocide that enabled all the free land, right? And that gave exclusively white people a leg up. But then getting to some programs, then you had the Homestead Act, which was in the 1800s, went all the way. The last land grant was in the 1980s. And that enabled whites to get a whole bunch of free land, a program, you know? And then on top of that,
why was it then, if those things are true, why was it when those things was happening, if they happened, that the blacks were doing better then than they are today? Because back then, blacks were not begging, they were not blaming, they had a sense of respect about themselves. They didn't have black leaders.
I disagree with you, Jesse, that black people have a sense of disrespect about themselves right now. I think a lot of these
things, they're not too proud to beg.
It's not begging when you're saying when you want the system to stop discriminating against you.
Oh.
And if you look at the begging, if you want to say, if we're going to say that programs equal begging, then it says, what is the Homestead Act? What is the GI Bill? What is the New Deal? What are these tax, you know, policies that basically enable white people to have more opportunity and wealth than they're entitled to?
I want to come back to that. I want to get to some very interesting things. I think you're a very interesting person. You're right. What is racial ethicist?
Ethicist?
Yes. What is racial ethicist?
Well, I mean, what I'm really focused on is what is around race. I'm focusing on proper, or as I'm deeming it, you know, appropriate behavior, race etiquette, you know, an appropriate way to engage with other people. And in my book, Race Rules, what I'm really focused on is helping people make better decisions so that they can have more positive, effective relationships with people of color.
Speaking of that, because you do look white, and I read that sometimes you're around white people, they don't know you're black.
I mean, I can't avoid them.
That's right. And so what are some of the things that the whites say says about black people when they think you're white? What are they saying?
Like the N-word.
They call them the N-word?
I have definitely heard the N-word used by white people when they don't think there are any black people in the room. Yes, I have.
And when you heard that word, did it affect you?
I mean, I was utterly offended by it, and I spoke up.
But they didn't know you were black.
Yeah, that was, you know, it's not like I walk around with a sign for white people that can't tell what I am saying, I am black, you know? But I'm not hiding it. I'm clearly comfortable with being a black person. I wrote a book that says race rules, what your black friend won't tell you. So I'm clearly saying, hey, world, I am black.
You know how you know how the blacks put when they own a black business, they put black business owner or owned by black business. Maybe you should put a sign on that says I'm black.
I mean, I do wear some shirts that say some things, but you know.
So let me ask,
but I don't feel like I need, the only time I felt like I wanted to wear a sign like that was one time when I was in the Caribbean and I got so tired of people coming up to me thinking I was white, asking if I wanted my hair braided. And I felt like wearing a t-shirt that said, I'm black and no, I don't want my hair braided.
Amazing. So can you give me another example of what the whites say about the blacks when you're around and they don't know you're black?
Things like naturally inclined to commit crimes, less intelligent, or if they're talking about whether, like in an employment situation, that, you know, they'll sometimes use like, you know, coded language, which still means that they think someone, coded language that I think is racialized. So they'll say things like, you know, that person's just not an the culture fit for this organization, which is just coded language for, we don't really want these brown people here.
Right. And does that offend you too when you hear them say that?
1,000% totally offended by it.
And are those things true or not?
They're not true. They're racist.
Oh.
Those are racist statements, especially calling someone the N-word. I mean, that's just hate speech.
Have you been
and
around?
And it also feeds into, you know, like the N-word is a tool of white supremacy. Right, it's a tool to try to keep black people in their place, you know, in a position of subjugation.
Have you been around blacks and they call each other that N-word?
I've heard it and I find it problematic. I don't like anybody using the N-word.
But,
but it's different.
Is that a put down and an insult to blacks when other blacks call each other that word?
To me, I see it as internalizing the, you know, dominant culture's white supremacy over centuries. So I see it as an internalization of a racist society.
And do you correct the blacks when you hear them saying that about each other?
Sometimes.
And sometimes you just stay quiet about it?
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, you know, you pick and choose your moments.
Yeah, I understand that. You write that the blacks, because of all this microaggression stuff that's happening, quote unquote, you write that the blacks and the Jews need to, that this stuff is dividing the blacks and the Jews rather than them coming together and deal with racism. Can you explain that?
Yeah, for the attack on DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion that's taking place right now, right, this broad scale of, you know, unwinding affirmative action, companies and universities pulling back from DEI programs, and which I find very problematic because that is how you level the playing field and try to equalize opportunity. But part of what I am seeing is there are some people, you know, using as part of a tool to undermine DEI, saying that it's somehow anti-Semitic, which is not true. And I find that unfortunate because then it just tries to pit two marginalized groups against each other who should be natural allies. It's the same thing with the affirmative action case that was decided last summer by the Supreme Court around affirmative action, which was, you know, pitting some Asian Americans against blacks and Latinos, which is, you know, really problematic. And to me, what the backdrop is just trying to, you know, like divide and conquer, as opposed to what should be the core focus, which is attacking white supremacy and racism in America and trying to equalize opportunity for everybody.
And why should the Jews join forces with the blacks about all this stuff? When the Jews and whites get along, they all work, for the most part, they work hard, they do their own thing, they educate their families, they own businesses and things. So the whites and Jews do not really have a major problem. Why should they join with the blacks? And the Jews and the blacks don't like each other. They naturally don't like each other. And they have not liked each other in a long time. I mean, when I was growing up, blacks and Jews got along well because of religion. But Jews don't like the black. They're afraid of them. And they've always been afraid of them, at least for the last 70 years or so. why should the Jews join forces with the blacks when they don't particularly like living around them, being around them, because they are so out of control? The blacks are.
Okay, there's a whole bunch of broad sweeping statements about Jewish people, white people, and black people, but I will respond to some of what you said, which is that, you know, not all white people, when I say white people, I mean not all like Christian, non-Jewish white people are okay with Jews. You know, Jewish people have experienced extreme anti-Semitism and marginalization. I mean, even if you look at the Unite the Right rally that happened in Virginia, I guess, was it 2017, you know, where they were saying like Jews will not replace us and the replacement theory. I mean, that is not supportive of Jewish people and their plight. But at the same time, so that's like how there could be an affinity between blacks and people of, people of color and Jews, is this common experience of marginalization and discrimination. But then at the same time, many Jews, not all Jews, but the majority of them are white. So they still experience white privilege and some of the benefits that come with being white. And so I think that could be the source of some tension. But the way that I see it is that they're just being, for people that are buying into the anti-Semitism argument against DEI, they're just being sucked into, a problematic argument as a distraction, when the big purpose really should be to attack white supremacy and broad-scale discrimination in America.
I know that in all culture you have what they call liberal Jews or liberal whites or liberal blacks, and then you have conservative Jews, conservative whites, and conservative blacks. And those two tend to split and fight one another. You can find that in all races. But I still don't understand why would the Jews, I know a lot of Jewish people and white people and black people, I don't understand why would the Jews want to join against people that they're afraid of living around, or afraid of being robbed, or afraid of violence, because the blacks are very violent. Not all, but most.
You're saying a whole bunch of problematic statements, Jesse, because black people do not have a natural propensity for crime and violence.
What's wrong with them then? Why they commit so much crime if they don't have a natural...
Let me first get to your first question, okay. Right? So in terms of, just as I was saying before, the majority of Jews in this country are white, right? So as a result of that, they're not immune to still engaging in racism, anti-black racism, and white supremacy, right? So some
of
them
are liberal
still...
Jews who are saying that they're being dishonest.
No, I'm just saying this is just a reality. Like, they're not immune to it. But at the same time, Jewish people are still experiencing their own series of challenges, because there are still hate crimes. Like, synagogues are still being shot up. You know, that's happened in the past, 5 years. They're still having, maybe a swastika painted on a synagogue. So it's not like they're not experiencing anti-Semitism in this country, which makes them understand what it's like to be marginalized. They're still targeted as a group, just not by everybody. So it's like they're a group that's targeted, while at the same time, the whites within that group can still be engaging in anti-black racism as well. But so the fact that they're marginalized, that is where the harmony should be, and where the focus is. And the greater focus really should be focusing on the majority white population, which is more of a Christian denomination, that is engaged in opportunity hoarding.
I've noticed that in this country, whites are more under attack than any other race when it comes to so-called racial stuff. Whites are being robbed, murdered, killed, raped. They're breaking into their homes. They're carjacking them. Their women are being raped. And everyone seems to be going against the whites. Why don't the whites start a anti-white movement to protect their culture, as you just mentioned about the Jews? The blacks are doing it. Why don't the whites join forces with the Jews and the blacks, and they all just fight together about it?
I mean, if the whites were to band together and form some kind of pro-white group, that kind of sounds like white supremacy and white nationalism.
But it would be no different than the blacks.
The people in the Klan.
It would be no different than the blacks and the so-called Jews. They're doing the same thing. What's wrong with the whites doing it?
No, it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing because whites have most of the power in this country.
That's amazing.
And power is a critical ingredient in what's transpiring in people's lives in terms of access to opportunity, whether or not you can buy a house, whether or not you can go to a good school. You know, those are the key things that are playing out. So I don't believe and I don't buy into the whole white victimhood mentality because whites are not, as a group, they are not being victimized.
So if the whites have so much power as the non-whites are claiming, especially the blacks are claiming, why don't the whites just kick the blacks and everybody out of their country if they don't like them? If they got all this superior power, why don't they just kick them out of their
country?
Why don't they kick them out of their country?
Wait, their country.
Right.
You mean our country.
What do you mean?
You said, why not keep them out of their country?
Right.
You mean our country. You said it as if this country is like only for white people.
Well, and I'm sure you would agree to that. It was founded and created by white men. And with the help of God, they created the greatest country on this side of heaven. And then they created the Constitution, which is amazing, allowing all these other people to come in. And then the people come in and they turn on the whites. I know you agree with that, right?
I don't fully agree with that. But what I will say is, yes, white people came here from Europe and then they engaged in mass genocide against the indigenous people to steal their land.
The Indians? Talking about the Indians?
I am. I'm talking about the Native Americans.
But
and
the Indians were not doing anything with the land. It was all pot.
And then brought over black people to enslave them to get free labor so that the economy could grow.
That's
right?
Not
and then
true.
They created they created
they were
a
bought.
Constitution.
What you might not realize is that over in Africa, Mommy Africa, the blacks sold other blacks to the Arabs, and it was the Arabs that took blacks around the world and sold them to other countries. It wasn't the white people, because even in those days, the rich black people in Africa were using other blacks as money. When they wanted to buy cows and things, they used the blacks as the money. When they wanted to go to the grocery shop store, they enslaved the blacks, and they're the one that sold the blacks to the Arabs. Why is that being left out, that part of the story?
What I'm focused on, because there's just a whole bunch of problems in what you said. But
can you tell me why that part of the story is left out? Because I never, and it wasn't white people.
There was a difference between some of the slavery that has taken place, you know, thousands of years ago, or that the Moors might have engaged in parts of Africa with the Ottoman Empire and the like. But what took place with the slavery in the United States and what Europe brought here was a complete unique form of slavery that was very much race-based, not just in terms of conquering any kind of people, but race-based, right? And so then who brought the first slaves into this country in the 1500s, at least as early as like 1526, was the Spanish and the Portuguese. And then in terms of 1619, that people know as the year, those were the slaves that came that the British brought.
But let me do this because I've heard it all before, but let me just ask.
Sure.
Even in those days, there were black people who owned slaves as well. So they were part of the white group that owned slaves. Even in places like my friend Big Bump explained on the show, and he black, that there were black owned slaves, black slave owners in Kentucky or one of those places, over 400 or some owners or something like that. And so that seemed to be left out the picture too. Why is that?
I guess my question for you is, why are you so focused on the things that a very small number, if at all, black people, what they may have done, as opposed to the monumental issues that were created and perpetrated against black people? Why are you so focused on not, you know, fully negating what white people did?
Because
you're focused on these little anomalies, and I'm not going to say that there was never a single black person that never owned a single slave, but what I'm saying is what was happening, colossal, broad scale, you know, in terms of the founding of this country and what took us up to the Civil War was because white people owned black people and enslaved them and engaged in, you know, child trafficking, rape, forced labor, all kinds of problems.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Give me the shirt. Come on. I ain't the children of the lot. Let's go. Come on. One shirt.
Jetson! Jetson!
What in the world going on out here?
All these people are here for the merch, but we're sold out.
They're here for the merch?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's amazing. The merch is amazing.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
The merch is amazing.
It's been reported that, and I believe I might be wrong about this, that Kamala Harris, the so-called vice president, and the...
Why is she so-called? Wait, why is she so-called vice president? She is the vice president.
And then the father messiah, Barack Obama, it's been said that their family members own slaves.
I don't know anything about that, but why are you saying she's the so-called vice president and then he's a fallen messiah?
Well, the reason I call him the father messiah because the blacks thought that if they voted for Barack Obama, that he was going to do something for them, and he did nothing. And the blacks were all disappointed, so they lost their messiah. And then...
I think it's erroneous to say that he did absolutely nothing. And I think
he kept him down. You're right. He kept him down.
No, I'm not saying he kept us down. But what I'm saying is one of the biggest things that he did give us was the Affordable Care Act.
Oh, God. Which improved... Don't mention that.
I mean, look.
No, don't mention that. That's just another program.
Jesse, I think out the gates, it's clear that you and I have completely divergent political views on things.
Why do you say that?
I mean, I presume we don't vote for the same people. But let's get back to why do you say Kamala is a so-called vice president
because,
when she is the vice president?
Because if I didn't see her pop up sometime in the news, I wouldn't even know she's there. And then when she speaks,
I think she could show up a little bit more. But what I will say about Kamala Harris is she can't always travel. Not because there's nothing wrong with her, but it's because in the Senate, she's the tie vote, right? So when the Senate is in session, she is not supposed to travel in case she has to go to Capitol Hill and cast a deciding vote as a swing vote.
Plus, when I hear her speak, she says nothing. She's like an empty shell. It's like an empty vessel. Have you noticed that?
I would not say that she is an empty vessel.
What would you say? Is she a full vessel?
I would say that she is the vice president of the United States that has to carry out the policy agenda of Joe Biden. And that is the role of the vice president.
You say, I want to ask, do the blacks need more race training than the whites?
No, I think the reason why I wrote the book is because the group that needs the most help in this situation are white people. I mean, at the end of the day, there are a whole bunch of people of color that are routinely offended and harmed by the behavior of white people. And I wrote my book, Race Rules, because I want to help people know how to do something better. Like, you know, if you think, Jesse, about a lot of books that are written about race and racism, they fall into a couple of different categories. They're either going to be like the memoir story and what someone experienced and that informs their understanding and view of race relations and racism in America, or it's like a historical book, an academic book. And I think those are helpful because somebody can read that and then they say, oh, okay, now I can better understand what racism is. And then what? Right. Then what happens after you read that? And what I'm focused on is the then what, the what to do. And so I wrote this book that provides advice on how someone can engage with someone. Like I say, you know, like I have for example, I have translation charts. Like, you know, you said this, we heard this. Why don't you say this instead? Right. And then that can help somebody have a better, more positive relationship, friendship, business relationship, whatever, with a person of color in their race, in their orbit. Because otherwise, then it's like, I mean, because, you know, at the end of the day, people still have to get along. And right. So I'm trying to help them better get along.
You claim that, let me ask this. I'm black and slow, right? You know, one thing, of all the things that's ever happened in my country, the one thing that surprised me the most, and believe me, I'm surprised by a lot of things, is that a company would pay money for a black person to come into their business and teach so-called diversity. And then the person that's teaching the so-called diversity making buku money, and things only get worse, they don't get better. Are you surprised that any business owner would allow that kind of person into their company to have a one-word conversation with their employee? Now, you know the person that's teaching that is insane. Are you surprised companies will hire that kind of a person? And it seemed to
you
be
mean,
all about the money
am I
anyway.
Insane? Because I'm not insane. I go into companies and I help them diversify their organizations.
No.
I help them. Yes, I do, Jesse. That is part of, that's part of what I do.
Are you surprised they allow you in there?
I mean, I'm surprised that they don't allow more people in.
Really?
I mean, if they want to get with the program of the 21st century, yes. The other thing too, Jesse, is that data shows that diversity is beneficial to organizations, right? Like companies that have more diverse environments and that are more inclusive, they have higher returns on investment, they have higher profit value, you know, they have lower turnover rates with employees. It's very expensive.
But they don't get
employees.
Along, though. The employees don't get along because the white people know that the blacks hate them, and so they have to tiptoe around the blacks. And then the blacks
are
always...
No, it's more so they don't get along because there are a lot of white people that are offensive.
No, they're afraid
of
the blacks.
And they engage in microaggressions, which is a form of racism, which is why I wrote the book, so that they can minimize that kind of behavior. You know,
I
want
to ask you about that, because you claim that white coworkers need to know how to avoid microaggression. And
yes.
And I want to ask you, why are the blacks so aggressive?
They're not so aggressive.
What would you call it?
Well, here's the question. You like to always take something and then point it towards, you know, some sort of deficiency of black people, as opposed to
give me an example.
The sentence that you just spewed.
That you don't know that black people are aggressive?
They're not inherently more aggressive. What's more aggressive than enslaving people and raping them? What's more aggressive than dropping bombs on their communities,
I can tell
which is
you.
What the police did in Philadelphia?
I can tell you what's more aggressive
than Tulsa?
I can tell you what's more aggressive about that. Is walking down the street and you're white and some black person just attack you because you're white. Or being an Asian person and a black person walk down the road and just knock you out because you're Asian. That's more aggression than slavery, than Jim Crow or anything.
No, it is not.
That's not, why not?
First of all, this first hypothetical incident that you have proposed is a one-off individual event, as opposed to a systemic policy approach and blighting
after,
of an entire
No, it's
people.
Systemic. Ask the Asian, they would tell you.
No, there's no systemic approach of black people going up and walloping. No.
Yes.
Show me the data, Jesse, because there's just a whole bunch of spewing of nonsense that I'm hearing.
Go up to San Francisco and New York and talk to the Asians. They'll tell you. And don't tell them you're black. Don't tell them you're black. Let them think you're white, and they're going to be honest.
No, what I need for you to do is somehow present some legitimate data, because I feel like you're just possibly...
But people make up data.
You're just making stuff up.
No, people make up data.
I mean, I get it that you don't believe in data, but data is a real thing.
No, it's made up nowadays, especially nowadays. I'm more for the truth than I am data, because data, especially to intellectual people, you know.
I mean, whose truth? You're saying all kinds of, you know, ridiculous, outlandish, you know, things about these blanket statements that blacks are more aggressive, and that somehow, even if someone attacks an Asian person, that is somehow supposed to be worse than experiencing 400 years of oppression in this country, enslavement, and Jim Crow.
And you keep mentioning the 400 years of so-called aggression, right? I grew up in that.
So-called?
Right.
I mean, let me ask you this, Jesse. Do you think black people were enslaved in this country?
Yes, they say they were, but they were better off then than they are today.
Why were they better off?
Because they were decent blacks. They worked. They have families.
You mean worked? Because if they didn't work, they would be killed or have like their hand cut off or they'd be raped or branded or sold.
No, that's not why.
They have to engage in Mandingo fighting or some terrible thing that happened.
You've been watching too many movies.
No, I'm not just talking about
watching Mandingo. Too many movies. Mandingo is not real.
The point is, Jesse,
what
is that slavery and enslavement of another people is mass torture. It is terror.
No, that's exaggerated.
No, it is not exaggerated. How is
proof.
It exaggerating? How is it exaggerating when you snatch people from Africa, bring them here, possibly 20 million people?
They didn't snatch them from Africa.
Half of them, maybe 10 million, die en route.
They didn't snatch them. They were sold to the Arabs by other blacks, and they sold them across the world. So they weren't snatched.
The bottom line, Jesse, is your reality is not my reality. I think my reality is more based on fact, and yours seems to be pulled out of the ether.
No, my reality is better than yours. Let me tell you why. May I?
I'm listening.
I grew up black. I look black. I am black. I grew up on a plantation down in Alabama under the Jim Crow laws. My parents and my grandparents and their parents worked the plantation. And during those times, I was taught to work, treat people the way I would like to be treated. The blacks would not complain about the whites at all because they knew good versus evil. That was in all races of people. And so they treated people the way they would like to be treated. They bought land.
You mean like lynching
them,
Jesse?
They bought land.
Like lynching?
They bought land. And they have a bunch of children. They educated them. They taught them trades. And blacks were not calling white people white supremacists. They were treating everyone the same as they would like to be treated. And only after the so-called civil rights movement happened, I know you agree with this, that the worst thing other than abortion that ever happened to the blacks was the civil rights movement. It's just been downhill ever since.
I fundamentally, thoroughly disagree.
I was around
virtually everything that you just said in that paragraph.
Why?
I mean, basically, you're signed up for the oppression of black people.
What do you mean?
Is where you stand.
Want the blacks to be free. I want them to stop begging and blaming and take responsibility to stop identifying as a group, but as an individual.
You're not going to solve anything on an individual basis. But my question
is, you're not going to solve it until you go to individuality.
So do you think, Jesse, do you think that white people as a group in this country never harmed black people with slavery?
You can't find one white person living today that ever harmed one black person in slavery. Not one.
Yeah, because everyone from the slavery era has died, and the last slave may have died in, like, let's say, maybe like the 1940s or something.
And so white people are not responsible for the blacks, as the blacks are not responsible for, white people are not responsible for what happened way back then, as the blacks are not responsible for what happened way back then.
No, the country is responsible for the economic benefits and the grifting that happened.
But we are giving the blacks everything they begged for. They still
not
happen.
No,
they asked for. They asked for just during the so-called civil rights movement, right? No such thing as civil rights, by the way. They asked for affirmative. They asked for welfare. We gave them welfare. They asked to go.
Most people on welfare are white.
They asked to go because they're more white people. They asked to go to white schools. We let them into the white schools. They asked to go to the white cafe. We let them into the white cafe.
I have a fundamental question.
They even
for you,
asked for the white woman. We gave them the white women, and they're still not satisfied. Ain't nothing else to give.
I have a fundamental question.
Do you disagree with that?
I disagree with almost everything that you say. But
they didn't ask for the white woman.
I'm just going to ignore that one. But
why?
But my question. I mean, what you say that. As a group, black people just want white women. Is that what you're trying
Remember
to say?
Remember when black men had to have a white woman? And the white woman got mad. I mean, the black woman got mad about it, so they kind of cool it off a little bit. But you remember those days when they would say, well, the white man won't let us have the white woman. You let us in your cafe, but you won't give us your white woman. And so women, and so the white man said, oh, okay, y'all can have our women.
Okay. Didn't quite happen that way, but here's my fundamental question for
yes,
you, Jesse.
Yes, it did. Go ahead.
No, it didn't. Okay, here's my fundamental question for you. Do you love your own people?
And who are my own people?
Black people.
Yes.
How?
I love them without judging them. I understand they cannot see. And because if they could see, they would be individuals. They would have their own families. They wouldn't have any other person representing them except for the people they vote for, no matter who that is. And I see that they can't see. And that's why they're such victims. They're blind and cannot see. They're angry at their mothers and they're yearning for their fathers and they're blaming the white man rather than seeing what's going on in their home. It's their mothers who screwed them up and not the white man.
Okay, so nothing in that statement that you just made implied that you love your own people.
That was all
it was
love.
Just a whole bunch of negativity and a whole bunch of bashing your own people.
Like, what do you
so
mean?
Tell
like
me,
how?
So just tell me, can you tell me three things that are positive that you appreciate about Black people?
Oh, number one, I appreciate that there are one or two Blacks who are starting to wake up. They're starting to overcome hating the white man, being victim, and blaming everyone. And they're starting to wake up. I appreciate, ain't nothing else I can think of.
I mean, I don't even think that one that you scratched and scrabbled to try to come up with was even positive. Because there was a whole bunch of negative that came with it.
But what like what?
I mean, you know, I just think it's unfortunate that you're focused more on taking down Black people.
I'm trying to point the right way to them. I'm telling them I didn't grow up a victim. I grew up under Jim Crow law. I worked at cotton field. Have you ever worked at cotton field?
No, and I hope not to.
Well, you don't know what you wouldn't understand. Then you're like a white woman.
I mean,
woman.
I know that it's hard.
You
work,
have
but
white
I don't
privilege.
Want my hands all cut up with those thorns and whatnot. No, that's hard work.
Do you think of like a white woman?
No, I also haven't picked grapes like a lot of the Latinos that do in California, which I also respect as very hard work.
But let me add, I'm trying to point the right way for them. I got to ask you this. Ask, do you feel bad that the average Black man is so weak that he's allowing the Black woman to take over and lead the way? Do you feel bad for the Black man that he would bow down to the Black woman and be the weaker vessel and allow her to try to lead them in the right way to go? Does that make you sad when you see that?
Well, I don't even agree with the premise of what you said.
What do you mean?
I don't think the Black women are trying to, basically what you're saying is emasculate and break down Black men.
Well, that's what they're doing every day. Why don't you?
From your perspective, which is pretty misogynist.
What's that?
I mean, you have a negative view of women, too.
How is that?
Based on what you just said.
What?
Okay, so now we're gonna play this game again.
I don't know anything.
Can you say three things? Can you say three things positive about women?
I don't know anything I said that wasn't true though.
It was not because Black women are not breaking down men, and
yes,
I do
they
not
are,
believe,
even in the home.
I do not believe that Black men are inherently weak.
What's wrong with them then?
I think people in general, you know, can improve, but I would not say as a group that Black men are problematic, nor would I say that
well,
Black
why
women
are they,
as a group
while they're
are
not getting better, they're becoming weaker. They even call the Black woman queen. I'm like, what the? How is she a
well, what's
queen
wrong with
of
trying
hell?
To uplift black, what's wrong with trying to uplift Black women?
But calling her a queen is not uplifted her. That's uplifted her ego, which is evil, and it makes her think she's something and she's nothing.
I'm not going to debate that one, but what
right.
I will say, no, I don't agree with what you said, but what I will say is that, you know, based on your statements, I mean, I see that there are two core groups that I would encourage you to think about in more positive ways, and that is Black people and that is women. And then the subset of that being Black women.
Black women are dangerous because of their heart.
They're not dangerous. You just have a negative view.
Because of their evil heart.
I mean, I guess you have not encountered enough positive Black women in your life, which is unfortunate. And something must have happened along the way for you to have such a negative view.
Nothing happened. But let me ask, do you believe that women were created to lead or to follow?
I believe that men and women are equal. So it is not about leading and following.
Do you believe that women were created to lead or to follow?
Neither.
Are you a Christian?
No.
Oh, well, I rest my case then. How are you going to be Black and you're not a Christian?
Because not every Black person is a Christian.
And what are you?
I'm agnostic.
Oh, my God. And why?
I'm hedging my bets.
On what?
I don't believe in organized religion.
Really? And so, but agnostic isn't our organized religion.
It's not an organized religion.
I know a whole lot of folks that are agnostic. They all agree together. That's an organized religion.
No, because we don't believe in any.
Y'all still fellowship together.
You know, let me quote Thomas Paine, one of our founding fathers, who said, "My mind is my religion."
Amazing.
So to me, what is important is your thought process, how you see things in society, and how you treat people. And if I look at how I treat other people and my moral code and my character, honestly, my personal character is significantly better than a whole bunch of people that go to a church, a synagogue, a mosque, or a temple.
See, that's the ego nature of the Black woman. She thinks she's better.
It's not the ego. It's just that, I'm not saying that I'm just talking about religion. I think there are a whole bunch of hypocrites that worship.
But it's hypocritical of you to think that way about others.
No, it's not hypocritical. I'm just talking about the behaviors that I see.
But look at your behavior with white people. Look how you treat white people.
I don't mistreat white people.
You do. You accuse them of the downfall of the Blacks when the whites have nothing to do with it. I'm sorry?
I'm just recognizing reality that's proven by, history and laws and policies and societal outcomes and wealth gaps and redlining and a whole bunch of other things.
Do you love white people?
I mean, I'm okay with white people.
Do you love white people?
I mean, not any more than any. I mean, I take people on an individual basis.
Do you love white people?
I think I've answered the question.
One last time. Do you love white people?
Again, asked and answered.
See, that's hypocritical. You don't love all.
It's not hypocritical. I don't love all people on the planet.
Right. That's problematic.
No, I don't think it's problematic. I think, I'm entitled to judge people for their behavior.
But if you don't love one, you love none. I mean, if you don't love all, you love none.
I mean, I am more focused on loving my own people.
What people?
Just because Black people.
But how can you love the Blacks and not the whites? You love all the Blacks?
No, just because I fight for my own people doesn't mean I'm an enemy of other groups, including white people. I'm not their enemy.
Do you love all Black people?
I just want them to do better.
You love all Blacks?
Not all Black people, because there's some people that I just have no love for whatsoever.
Really? Do you love me?
I don't know you well enough, but I'm enjoying this conversation with you, and I hope that you evolve over time, Jesse.
Do you have to know me? Do you have to know me in order to love me?
I mean, as a human being, I have I respect your humanity and want you to be treated appropriately as another human on this earth. I don't want you to experience anything terrible. I want you to have all the rights that should be afforded to you as another American, as a global citizen. I have respect for you. I mean, I respect the fact that we live in a country where you and I could have completely divergent views and can have a conversation about it.
So do you have to know me in order to love me?
I don't know.
Amazing.
I don't know the answer to that.
You say that you claim that you can have a black friend and still be a racist. How is that possible?
Because proximity to blackness is not a shield for not engaging in racism. That's why people say like, oh, my black friend is some sort of token, you know, or there's some sort of racialized prop. I mean, and people are on a spectrum in terms of where they are with their racism. But what I am trying to say is that just because somebody has a black friend, a black child, a black spouse, that they have a black doctor, that they may have a black boss, none of that means that they're, you know, inherently not going to engage in racism just because they happen to know, love, appreciate, work with, live amongst black people.
You know, and so if a black man or woman had a black husband, black wife, black children, I mean, white husband, white wife, white children, blah, 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 would that black person still be a racist?
It's possible for the white person to still be a racist.
No, the black person. Could the black person be racist as well?
No, because I don't believe that black people can be racist.
What's wrong with you?
So let me explain.
What's wrong with you? Tell me what's wrong with you.
There's nothing wrong with me, but I think there's a distinction between racial prejudice and racism.
You have a degree, don't you?
I have several degrees.
You approve of my point.
Let me finish my statement. So I believe that everyone is racially prejudiced. Okay. I think we prejudge people all the time, whether someone's male or female or tall or short or American or not American, black, white, whatever. We're judging people all the time, right? Humans inherently judge. And then when we get to race, everyone judges other people based on race. So we are all possessed racial prejudice. But to me, here's the distinction of when you go from racial prejudice to racism is that you need to have societal power. And as a group, black people don't have the same kind of societal and institutional political power. And to me, that is the critical ingredient to transition from racial prejudice to racism. I know you and I won't agree with this on that one, Jesse.
Let me
ask. That's how I see it.
I've interviewed over the last 30 years or so, I've interviewed tons of educated people, black, white, Jewish, Japanese, Chinese, and I noticed that all educated people with degrees have no common sense. And it's only the people that I've interviewed that have not been so educated, they tend to have common sense. And so I've started telling people, don't waste your money going to these universities to be dumbed down from common sense, because the intellect is evil and it has no truth in it. Do you agree with me that human beings should stick to common sense by not getting all this education, or should they go and get educated and lose all common sense?
Well, first of all, I disagree with the premise that people cannot have common sense and get a degree. But I do think, we can all encounter people educated and uneducated that have no common sense. I know that the undercurrent of your statement is that you're implying that somehow I don't have common sense, which I disagree with. However,
but where is it?
You just don't agree with my statement.
No, but nothing you've said that makes common sense.
It's that you and I have completely divergent views and opinions of things. But to getting to your question, I don't think that people should hold themselves back from getting a higher, you know, going to college and going to a university. People can learn so many interesting and fulfilling things that enrich their lives, and it increases their earning potential. Not for everyone. I'm saying that there are plenty of people who haven't gone to college that will still be very high earning. But
they have the money, but they're dumb as a doorknob. Look at Barack Obama. You know who Big Mama Michelle Obama is, right?
I mean, I am going to call her Michelle Obama. I'm not going to.
Dumb as a doorknob. Look what they did to the country.
She's not dumb as a doorknob.
Yes, she is.
You may not agree with their policies, but they're not dumb.
No,
that's for sure.
They're dumb.
No, they're not.
Let me
ask.
You
just don't agree with their policies. If you want to say dumb, you know, intellectually dumb, that would be like Donald Trump. He's intellectually stupid.
I was about to tell you, he's one of the smartest
white so
man. I'm glad you brought up the Great White Hope.
I already know you have love for him,
but the Great White Hope.
He is short on intelligence, okay? Not to say that he's not smart and crafty.
What do you think?
On some other things. I think that those look like they are perfect as dog chew toys.
Okay, you see this white man standing up, right? And he's like this, right? And look where the black man is.
I mean, Donald Trump is a white nationalist.
Would you prefer the man to stand on his own two feet, or his own feet, or the man that in a wheelchair?
Okay, if you're saying, well, I pick the Santa figurine in a wheelchair as opposed to the white nationalist who wants to be a dictator, I will pick the black Santa every day of the week.
And you know why?
Because I don't want to be affiliated with a white nationalist.
No, you will control the man in the wheelchair, but you can't control the man on his feet.
No, uh-huh. That's your misogyny.
Uh-huh.
No, that's your misogyny coming through. Or your misogynoir even more. No, I mean, why would I want to be with you? You spend time with somebody that's as toxic and that has, you know, an inferiority complex like Donald Trump.
Would you ever date a man that you can control?
And that doesn't sound appealing to me.
Thank you. That's why you hate Donald Trump, because you can't control him.
No, I said, you asked me, would I want to control somebody? I said, no, I would not want to
control
them.
All women want to control.
No, but what I don't want is to spend time with someone who I see as problematic and dangerous for democracy as Donald Trump.
Right, because he made democracy work. He make it better.
How does he make it work when he tries to overthrow the government?
Oh, God. Let's all go there. But let me tell you this.
Okay. I want to deal with racism.
I want to deal with racism. There's no such thing as racism. Racism is a made-up lie. Our battle is a spiritual battle. It's a warfare between good and evil. There are people who are of their father, the devil. They are evil. And there are those who have overcome their father, the devil, and now God is their father. They're on the side of good. So it's not about no such thing as racism, sexism, homophobiaism, Islamophobiaism, deadbeat-dad-ism, white supremacism, Allahu Akbar-ism, or anti-Semitism. It's either right or wrong. It's spiritual.
I mean, I don't hold a lot of the beliefs, including the religious beliefs that you do. I mean, I take it that you're a Christian, right?
Yes.
What kind of Christian?
A good one.
Okay, not that, but like what kind of denomination?
Non-denominational.
Okay. Do you go to church frequently?
Sometimes.
Then why are you spewing all this religious stuff and you're like, what are you, like a creaster?
It's in my heart.
Are you like a creaster that only shows up on Christmas and Easter?
No, I show up every Sunday.
You just said that you don't.
I do. I'll mess around.
Okay.
But let me say, so racism doesn't even exist. It's some word made up by the race hustlers because they wanted money and perceived power for themselves. And they're keeping the blacks down by pretending that racism exists. It doesn't even
racism
exist.
Racism is real.
It's not real. But let me ask, did you grow up closer to your mother or your father?
What do you mean? Like, I mean, I lived with both my parents.
And who are you closest to?
My mother.
And why not your father?
I mean, I think people are naturally, especially females, are more inclined to have a stronger relationship with their mother.
Why you don't have that with your father? It's abnormal to be closer to the mother than it is the father. Why you're not closer to your father rather than your mother?
I mean, we just have different personalities.
Have you forgiven your mother for turning you away from your father and recreating you in her image?
First of all, there are a whole bunch of assumptions there when you know nothing about my parents.
I noticed that you just like your mama.
No, but there's nothing for my mom to have to apologize for.
Are you surprised you just like your mama?
I'm not just like my mother.
But you're like her. You're a lot like your mother.
Well, first of all, you never even met my mother.
I'm looking at her right now. I see your mother in you.
What if I were adopted?
Am I wrong about seeing your mother in you?
I mean, I have similar features to both of my parents.
But am I wrong about there's a lot, your personality is a lot like your mother?
There's some aspects of my personality that come from my mother and my father.
But am I wrong in saying that you're just like your mama?
Yes.
I'm not wrong.
Yes, you are.
Let me ask, what is love?
I mean, I don't know what the definition of love is. I guess it's, I don't know.
What is a man?
You mean like genetically, what's a man?
What is a man?
I mean, it's someone of the opposite sex that has the XY chromosomes.
And XY chromosome, you say?
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. So I got to put you on the hot seat. So I need you to answer these questions as quickly as possible.
Okay. I'm sure there are going to be some crazy, some outlandish questions that you're about to throw at me, Jesse. Okay. Hit me with it.
The hot seat.
Do you support abortion?
100%.
Is abortion killing a baby or giving it life?
An abortion is not killing a baby if you don't think life doesn't start until you're actually born.
So is abortion killing a baby or giving it life?
An abortion is terminating a pregnancy.
Is America the best country on this side of heaven?
I think the United States has a lot of great qualities, and so do a bunch of other countries.
No, is America the best country on this side of heaven?
I mean, I'm not religious, so the whole this side of heaven part kind of trumps your question.
Should men be allowed to play in women's sports?
Do you mean transgender people? Is that what you mean?
No, should men be allowed to play in women's sports?
No, men should play in men's sports and women should play in women's sports.
Should women be allowed to play in men's sports?
No, unless it's co-ed.
So if it's co-ed with the women's sport, men should be able to play in women's sport?
I mean, if it's a co-ed sport, then that means any gender can play.
Rap. So why don't you just call it co-ed then? Rap music or country music?
I like both.
Was Jesus white or black?
Jesus was black.
How you know? You know you believe in Jesus, you said.
But you know, when you read that part of the Bible about his brown skin and his woolly hair, and you know that part of the
that
country,
means
I mean,
Jewish.
That part of the Middle East is not, it's not a white region.
But the Jews had kinky hair as well.
Yeah, so there's some Jews that, you know, not white.
Is the earth flat or round?
Round.
True or false, abortion is worse than slavery.
Slavery is worse because I think abortion is okay.
Does a chicken have lips?
Lips? Okay, you just threw in a wild card. I mean, no, I think the beak probably has nothing that would be defined as lips.
Is it okay for a black man to love the Confederate flag?
No.
Is Joe Biden bad for the black community?
I have a lot of issues with Joe Biden. I even wrote an article that was published in The Hill a couple weeks ago that was entitled something like, Biden must work harder to earn this black woman's vote. So I think he has a long way to go.
So do you tend to lean more conservative or liberal?
Oh, I'm a progressive.
Oh, God. A progressive atheist.
I didn't say I was an atheist. I said I was agnostic.
Yeah. What a mess.
I mean, I like those, you know, I like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Oh, my God.
You know, I like people like that. I like, in California, running Barbara Lee, right, who's running for Senate.
My God. I
grew up, my congressman was Ron Dellums growing up in Berkeley, California.
Do your parents know you messed up like this?
First of all, I'm not messed up.
Right.
And my parents have very similar political beliefs.
Oh, your father and your mother?
Yeah, totally.
Forgive them.
And my siblings.
Forgive them.
No, not forgive them. And, you know, let's make more just like them in this country.
Did Big Mama Michelle Obama eat up all the ribs?
I don't even know what that means. And first of all, let's just call her Michelle Obama. And what is this thing about the ribs?
You know how black people love ribs. Obama said,
I don't eat pork.
He said Big Mama love her tamales, and she love her ribs. She love everything.
I mean, a lot of Americans, black, white, you know, Mexican, Latino, whatever, Asian, a whole bunch of people like ribs.
I don't know if he mentioned ribs. He mentioned tamales. A whole bunch
of
really,
you know, what seemed like tasty looking ribs at a lot of Korean restaurants, too.
Amazing. Is it better to be raised by a single mother or a single father?
I think it depends on the person.
True or false?
If it's a bad parent. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, finish your point.
Ahead. I said if it's a bad parent, either way, I think that's more of the issue. Are they going to properly raise that child with love and care in their home?
Are you married?
Male or female? No, I am not married.
Oh. True or false? Sending your children to a public school is child abuse.
No. I went to public school and I loved it.
True or false? If you can ha, you can hear.
I don't even understand that. But I heard that you said some words, but I don't know what the ha means. Okay.
If you can ha, you can hear.
I just don't know what the ha is, but I can hear.
Did you have fun?
I did have fun speaking with you, Jesse. Yes, I did.
Thank you for coming on. I want you to tell the people how to get your book and whatever else you're doing on your website or whatever you want to put out. Tell the folks.
Okay. Well, the way that people can find me is they can go to FatimaGilliam.com, FatimaGilliam. And I encourage people to get and read my book and share it with other people and have conversations around it and share it with people in their life that they think could use that kind of advice. It's a book that's helpful for white people to provide advice. And it's a book that's helpful for people of color because it brings words to people's experiences and emotions. And I also consider it a please go away book for the person of color that's tired of having these conversations with white people. And they could just say, read this lady's book and please stop asking me questions.
Amazing. So. Well, I really appreciate you coming on and taking the hot seat. And thank you all for tuning in. I absolutely appreciate it. Don't forget to support the Fallen State on the fallenstate.tv/donate and locals. Click the link in the description to find locals and support us. Thank you all in advance. Check out our merch, like, follow, ring the bell, donate. Y'all know what to do. And I do appreciate you. Thank you so much for tuning in. And thank you again for coming on. I wish you well.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed this, Jesse.
Right on. Amazing.